to many of us, and myself included, the most important part of self-sufficiency is about providing your own food and also cooking your own food and just being involved in the whole process from sort of farm to fork, if you like, but without the farm. And you could argue that at the centre of all of this are soups and broths and homemade stocks.
Hello, and welcome to the Self-Sufficient Hub podcast. I'm Carl from selfsufficienthub.com, and I'm here to talk about all things self-sufficiency. Sustainability and food security matters.
Hello everyone, and welcome to episode 109 of the Self-Sufficient Hub podcast. I hope you're all safe and well. As I said in the intro there, today we're going to be talking about soups and broths and stocks. And I do really think that you could make a case that the making of homemade stock is almost at the centre, or could be placed at the centre of the web of all the things we do to be food self-sufficient. And the reason is because it really does demand a sort of cooking from scratch mentality if you're going to be making your homemade stocks. But also it's a way of using leftover products, reducing your food waste, which is obviously the topic of the last podcast. But by reducing your food waste, you can use some of your leftover portions of cooking ingredients, things like chicken carcasses and things like that, to make amazing stocks. And it's also going to enhance future meals. So it's just a really great way of killing two birds with one stone, if you like. Now, we use soups as a way of using up a tremendous amount of things like leftover vegetables. After a big roast dinner, we might make a big vegetable soup. Also, we use it at this time of year when we've got lots and lots of pumpkins and squash and things like that that we want to make into a delicious, nutritious meal. Now, we all love pumpkin soup, and with Halloween just around the corner and three children, we're going to be hollowing out more pumpkin than we're going to be able to eat within a day or two. So making a nice big pumpkin soup is definitely the delicious answer to the questions that that raises. So today we're going to be talking all about the sort of lost art of making your own stocks and soups. Now, any good soup needs a good stock. It makes a huge difference to the end product of your soup. Rather than using a really cheap and nasty stock cube and some hot water, and I'm not criticizing if that's the way you've always done it and you've never tried making your own stocks. I certainly did it that way for a long, long time, but my eyes were opened when I really started making my own stocks, and it really does make the world of difference. Towards the end of this episode, we're going to give you just some really quick stock recipes. So a vegetable stock, a chicken stock, a beef or meat stock, and a fish stock. Just a really quick overview of the four sort of basic types of stock. Although I do have to say that we use a fair amount of mushroom stock these days. I've mentioned that before. I think I mentioned it on Friday's episode. The water that is a byproduct of rehydrating mushrooms, and that's something that we do a fair amount of in our household, is a sort of instant mushroom stock, and it's full of flavour. So that's something else you can add to your bow, if you like, another string to add to your bow if you are rehydrating mushrooms, especially if you're doing it as often as I am. Now, soup's been around since forever, really. As long as we've been cooking food, we've been making soups. And over the years, they've become more, or you could say less refined, depending on how you look at it. And these days, you know, quite a large portion of the soup that we eat is basically dried powdered soup. Now, these were originally used by the American pioneers and also by the Army and Navy forces that would use them to obviously have those kind of ready, I think they're called MRE type meals, you know, meals ready to eat, the sort of thing that you just add boiling water to. So they have been a staple of our existence as a species for quite some time. there's a vast variety of soups. You've got your very, very thin soups, which are like a, almost like a watery soup, and those would be considered to be more your broths. And then generally speaking, when you think of creamier soups, the creamy soups or cream of, that doesn't always necessarily refer to the addition of cream, although it quite often would have cream added. Those are your soups where the sort of the thicker elements, the chunks of vegetable and what have you, would be blended down to thicken up the soup. And I love them all. And there's so much to be said for the huge variety available. And if you've never made soup before, I suppose what I would suggest you did is start with a couple of simple recipes online, and then you'll very quickly come to realise that it's all about guidelines. And from there, you can kind of go in any direction and get really creative. There's not a lot you can't make into a soup.
Find Self-Sufficient Hub content elsewhere online in lots of other places. We have a YouTube channel, we also have our website, and now there's our Facebook page and Facebook group. Links to all of these you can find in the show notes. Come check us out.
So the one base ingredient that you're going to use for all your soups is going to be a stock. And as I've said before, you know, a really good quality stock is going to translate to a really good quality tasting soup with real depth of flavour. Now, generally speaking, you're going to be asked for one of four different types of stock, or perhaps you'll be given a choice in your recipe. But you've got chicken stocks and vegetable stocks, then you've also got fish stocks, and either beef or just meat stocks might be referred to, which are generally made from beef, but you can make stocks out of the bones of pretty much anything. The idea of making a stock is to draw not only the flavour, but also the goodness, the nutrients from the basic ingredients that are used within that liquid. Now, we hear a fair amount these days about a paleo diet, or some people talking about an almost exclusively meat diet. And what you need to remember is, if you're talking about that kind of diet, these people are eating nose to tail, and they're eating all the parts of the animal that give them the balanced nutrients that you're not going to just get from the more commonly eaten cuts. So as a Western society, a modern Western culture, we tend to think of meat as just the muscle of the animal, the steak cuts and the really nice big chunky meat of the muscle of the animal. But there is so much more to the animal which we can eat, not only in soups and stocks, but these parts of the animal do make up a fantastic source ingredient for our stock. So the bones and the marrow within, and all the connective tissue and all that kind of thing, gives amazing nutrients but also depth of flavour to stocks. Now, when you're seasoning a stock, you don't want to add too much seasoning, because the idea is that we're really trying to get the flavour from the key ingredients, not for the seasoning itself. So by all means, add a little seasoning at the end by tasting, but you don't want to add it right at the start. So you don't really want to flavour your stock too strongly with things like herbs or anything like that. The idea is to keep your stock quite clean, quite simple of the basic ingredients, because then you're going to be able to use it to make a variety of dishes, not just soups, but also gravies and broths and casseroles and things like that. Having some really great base stocks is just a huge bonus in the kitchen. And it's going to add, I've said it before, but it's going to add just this amazing depth of flavour to so many dishes. So rather than just making a bulk standard ragu sauce with a just tomatoes, you might want to choose to deepen, I'm not sure that's a term, but deepen that flavour by adding some really nice stock to that dish as well. When you're making stocks, you're going to want to try and skim off all the excess fat, because otherwise you might end up with a greasy broth at the end of the day. Now, of course, this is more, we're talking about our meat stocks here, but once you've skimmed off that fat, again, this is something else that needn't go to waste. So what we do, we have a Pyrex dish or a couple of Pyrex dishes in the fridge, and we keep all our excess cooking fat, not the burnt stuff and not the stuff that's been sort of got the little granules of the cooking ingredients in there, but the clean, clear fat, we save that and we reuse that for cooking with at a later date. If you cook regularly from scratch, then you're going to find that you're able to create all these stocks all the time just from your leftover ingredients and as a byproduct of the cooking process, particularly vegetable stocks. I'm going to get a little bit more into that in a second. But once you've had real homemade stocks, then you're definitely going to be able to tell the difference between that and one that's made just from boiling water and stock cubes. Now, generally speaking, all stock recipes, if you're finding a recipe, would contain three ingredients, and they would be onions, carrots, and celery. However, in the past, when I haven't had one of these ingredients, I have substituted other things. For instance, I have used leek instead of onion, although very rarely, we almost never don't have onion in our house. But if you don't have onion, that's one option. And instead of carrots, we've actually substituted carrots a few times with various root vegetables, be it turnip or swede or something like that. And if we've not had celery, we've actually used things like chard stalks. Now, they're not the same, and you definitely want those ingredients if you've got them. But if you haven't, that doesn't mean you're at a complete loss. Now, there's a few general guidelines. As I said, there's not a lot of rules, but there's a few general guidelines for making a stock that are going to just help you increase the quality of it. They're going to help you keep it clear. They're going to help you get that flavor in. So I'm going to run through a few of them next. And I'm also going to talk about something called a master stock, which is something that you might have heard in some posh chef-y type restaurants or perhaps on some chef TV shows if you watch that kind of thing. It's quite in vogue at the moment, but it's actually super simple.
You can now support the show directly. Just go to patreon.com/selfsufficienthub. You can become a patron and set up to donate to the show from any amount. Pledging as little as $3 a month makes a huge difference. If that's not your thing, you can also support the show by sharing it with people you know or posting about it on social media. We really appreciate all the help that you give us. It's people like you that make this show possible.
So a master stock is basically a stock that you reuse over and over again, and the flavor intensifies every time. I'm going to try and explain it really, really simply just by talking about cooking vegetables. Now, if you cook a traditional roast dinner with lots of lovely boiled vegetables, what you're going to do is you're going to save the water from those vegetables and use them to make your gravy. You're going to use the juices from the meat. You're going to pour some of that vegetable water over that juices, and you're going to apply that pan to some heat and stir those juices in while adding some corn flour. And that effectively is going to make you your lovely homemade gravy. What you need to think about, that water, we're saying that it's a nice thin stock. That is all a stock is. So it's water that has taken on some of the flavour of the ingredients that were in it. So it's taken on some of those lovely vegetable flavours. Well, usually you're going to find that you've got more leftover water that you've cooked your vegetables in than you're going to need for that gravy. So what if we were to save all of that water? That's a really, really thin stock because it's only cooked some vegetables in. If you're like me, you probably like your vegetables not overcooked, not soggy, quite crisp. So they're not going to have been boiled for very long. It's going to have taken very little of that flavour on. But let's say we save that water and we don't call it a stock just yet, or we call it a very thin stock, but then we reuse it next time we're cooking vegetables. And it's going to do two things. So it's going to add extra flavour to those vegetables because you're no longer cooking them in water, you're cooking them in a stock. But it's also going to add more flavour to the stock from the vegetables. That flavour is going to transfer in both directions. Now, let's say we did this over and over again. Well, what you're creating here is a master stock. A master stock is a stock that we've used to boil things in, whatever it might be, several times, and we've kept adding to that flavour, and that flavour's got deeper and deeper and stronger and stronger. So this is just one technique of making vegetable stock, and we call it a master stock because we're using it over and over again. So the limit of how strong and how delicious and how deep that flavour can get is really only set by your imagination and your ability to reuse it and keep it safely in between cooking. So that's master stocks. It's something we try and do. The biggest limiting factor with us is actually having space in the fridge to keep these things. So sometimes we have to choose to use our master stocks and make soups out of. Sometimes we're able to store them for longer. So the other general guidelines that I said about stocks is little things like when you're straining it, with vegetable stock, you might squeeze the vegetables to kind of press the remainder of that flavour out of them. But that's the only time you would do it. When you're making meat stocks, you definitely wouldn't do that because you're going to get a cloudy stock. So you want to leave those bones and bits and bobs that you've put in your stock, just leave them in the sieve to kind of drip through. Another tip is, if you can, to chill your stock quite quickly once you've finished making it. And then once you've done that, any fat that's within it should solidify on the surface, making it easy to remove. Always start off with cold water when you're making stock, if you can, and bring all the ingredients up to temperature together, all the ingredients that you're putting in that water to start with. Don't add any more water than you need to cover your ingredients. If you're setting out to purely to make a stock, then the idea is we want as much concentration of flavour as possible. So the more water we add, obviously the more dilute that final flavour is going to be. Once you've got it boiling, you want to bring it down to a simmer fairly quickly if you can. You don't want a really hard boil on a stock. And remove any scum that kind of forms on the top with a slotted spoon as it comes. As I've said before as well, the other thing is don't over season it. You know, we're going to add the seasoning at the end if we need to. And that allows you to have a more versatile stock that's going to be usable for more different things. If you are going to make a stock out of bones, if you're making a brown stock, a beef stock or something like that, then you're going to want to roast them in a roasting tray first in the oven before adding them to a pan with vegetables or what have you. Now, there's loads of different opinions on this, and every good chef is going to have their own favourite ways of cooking stock, and they're all going to vary, and you're going to find your own favourite ways that are perhaps different to mine. But the bottom line is, it's very, very difficult to get it wrong. They're really simple. And what I strongly recommend is that if you don't make your own stocks yet, then just have a go with a simple vegetable stock, starting with the leftover water from the next time you boil vegetables. You know, don't waste that. Don't throw it away. Let's see if we can get a second use out of that potentially amazing flavorful stock.
You can now support the show directly. Just go to patreon.com/selfsufficienthub. You can become a patron and set up to donate to the show from any amount. Pledging as little as $3 a month makes a huge difference. If that's not your thing, you can also support the show by sharing it with people you know or posting about it on social media. We really appreciate all the help that you give us. It's people like you that make this show possible.
So let's end with a few stock recipes for making your soups or whatever else you want to make with them. For a simple chicken soup, all you're going to need is a chicken carcass. So obviously you've taken most of the meat from the carcass. It's already been roasted in the oven. If it hasn't, if you're taking the meat from the carcass before it's cooked, then you're going to want to put the carcass in the oven and just roast it off first. Then you're going to want some onion, some carrots, some celery, say, you know, one of each, if you like, and then just simply a little bit of pepper and a bay leaf. Put the carcass in a large saucepan and get it covered with water and bring that to the boil. As soon as it comes to the boil, reduce the heat and just simmer it there for about an hour. You want to keep the lid on for this time and just keep everything contained within that pot. If you've got any scum forming on the top, take that off as you go. And then after about an hour, remove the carcass and take off any meat that you want to salvage from that carcass for use in other dishes or whatever it is you might want to do with it. Of course, if you don't want to do that, if you want to leave the meat in, then that's something you can do as well. Then put the bones back in the pot or leave them in there if you're not going to be taking the meat away. And then add your onion, carrot and celery all diced up with a few peppercorns or a little bit of pepper, one bay leaf, bring back to the boil. And then all you're going to do is just let it simmer for sort of 3 or 4 hours, again, removing any scum as it comes out. When it's done, put it straight in the fridge or somewhere to cool for 10 minutes. Pour it through a really fine sieve into a clean bowl and then just leave everything that sits in that sieve to drain naturally. Don't press it down. Then finally, put that in the fridge and take off any fat that forms on the top, and then it's completely up to you. You can either just use it straight from the fridge in, you know, a few days, or you can pour it into ice cube trays or even just freeze it in jars. When it comes to beef stock, it's basically very much the same process. The only slight difference is that we're going to make sure that our beef bones are actually cooked in an oven before we put them in the stock. About 40, 45 minutes on a, you know, medium-high oven should do the trick. And then just, again, get them in that pan, bring them all to a nice rolling boil, and then down to a simmer really quickly. You might want to add a few tomatoes perhaps to your beef stock, or some, if you've got some tomato skins and seeds saved from tomato sauces you might have made, this is a great use for them to add them in to this sauce. We might simmer this for a little bit longer though, about 6 hours, but apart from that, everything else we're going to do pretty much exactly the same. Once you've got that stock, you're treating it exactly the same in the fridge or freezer. So that's your chicken and beef stock. I've already mentioned mushroom stocks, which are super simple. Next up is vegetable stock. So this is slightly different. This time we're going to use lots of onions, carrots and celeries, but we're also going to use a few tomatoes, maybe some garlic, a few mushrooms, and then again, just some simple pepper and maybe a bouquet garni of thyme, parsley, a bay leaf, anything like that. You really are your own master here. You can choose what you want to put in there. But we're going to lightly fry off the onion and the carrot and celery until they're a little bit soft, before they go brown, but just as they're starting to turn. And then we're going to put all the other ingredients in and all the water and cook that down in the water for about an hour, hour and a half before, again, we strain it. This time what we're going to do is we're actually going to press that vegetables stock to get as much liquid out as we can. And again, all the other steps are the same. Finally, we're going to talk about fish and fish stocks. So for a fish stock, we're going to use all the fish bones and fish heads that would normally get discarded. We're going to take them and make an amazing fish stock out of them. And again, we're going to be using our onions, carrots and celery. We're going to also use a few leeks this time maybe, and some white wine. We're going to take the vegetables, we're going to lightly fry them off again, and then we're going to throw in all of our fish heads, fish bones and our water and some white wine. We're going to allow all that to sit and simmer again for a good couple of hours, reducing it all down. I might add some parsley, a bay leaf, a little bit of garlic, maybe even some mushrooms again, something to add to that fish stock to give it that little bit extra depth of flavour. And again, we're just going to do everything else that we do with all of our other stocks. We're not going to need to cook this for quite so long as the beef stock, but we're going to get this amazing fish stock at the end of it. So it's a great way, making stocks, to use up leftover ingredients. It's a great way to use up leftover ingredients by combining them with these stocks to then make soups. It's something we can almost do as a byproduct of our cooking. That's how I want you to think about it. We can create the stocks as a byproduct of our cooking, and then we can use the stocks to use up leftovers and make amazing, amazing soups and sauces. So that wraps up today's episode. I hope it's something you found interesting, and I will speak to you guys soon.
If you find this podcast valuable, there's several ways you can support it. The easiest of which is to rate and review it wherever you get your podcasts. You could also talk about it or share it wherever you post online, including your social media pages. And now you can support the podcast directly by becoming a patron at patreon.com/selfsufficienthub. however you support the podcast, we really appreciate it. Thank you for listening. See you soon.